Blog Talk Radio.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome this evening to the Great Controversy Study. Let's have a word of prayer before I open the line for Sister Brittany. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this special day as we come together praising you and thanking you, Lord, that we're able to come and join and study and be refreshed and gain wisdom and understanding from your word and from your apostle, you, the one that you have appointed to bring us the word, O Father. In your word you say, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Help us, O Lord, to be born of you, Lord. Help us and convict us of our sins, of our trespasses, whatever we have done or said wrong that was not according to your will. Help us to repent of it, Lord, so that sin will not remain within us, Lord. We thank you ever so much for each and every one that's coming on. May they receive a blessing from the reading of this study. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'll open the line for Sister Brittany to bring us our second word of prayer. Please press 1, Sister Brittany. Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. Amen. 607-743, your line is now open.
Okay. Hello, good night, everyone. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to, again, be able to come from wherever we are and fellowship together and study upon the great controversy, Lord. Praying that we all be blessed and attentive to what we're going to read and allowed to apply in our lives where it needs to and to take heed to what we're going to read tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And Sister Sheldine will be bringing us the Song of Meditation. I believe she'll be on the same line.
Yes.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Good evening, everyone. I will sing
Amen.
From the hymnal, Rescue the Perishing. Good to hear you, Carla.
Praise the Lord.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over erring one, lift up the fallen, Tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Sheldon. Rescue the perishing and care for the dying. That is a work for us to do, brothers and sisters. Amen. And as I open the line for Elder Richardson, please pray that you have your great controversy, your notepad, your Bible, your pens, something to write with, and please write down your questions. So at the end, we'll allow 10 minutes for questions and comments. So please write them down. And now, Elder Richardson, your line is open.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Sister Carla, for opening up the line for this important study of the Great Controversy. If any place that I'd rather be in right now is right here and right now with this study, because I know this study of the Great Controversy is preparing me, it's preparing us for what is coming and to enable us to be ready in our lives to meet the terrible emergencies. So I pray that we all will understand and realize it's not it's for all our benefit that this Great Controversy study line is all about. And with this in mind, let us pray. Father, bless us. We thank you. Be with me as I read and as I explain as I go. May you open up the understanding of us as we apply our hearts to know, Lord, and prepare for the coming crisis. Be with us in this study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are in the paperback soft cover book. We are on page 88, and it will be the fourth paragraph on page 88 in the soft cover paperback Great Controversy. And in the hardback cover book, it will be on page 179. You'll see it right there. And that will be about the second paragraph. All right? So now we all do have the pages on both books. We'll go right into the study. I begin. At Zurich, and you all will see all of that right there. At Zurich, Zwingli preached zealously against the pardonmongers. And when Samson, now this is not the Samson of the Bible. This is Satan's Samson. This is not God's Samson. This is one of the monks of the Vatican, of the papacy, and his name was Samson too. He approached the place. He was met by a messenger from the council with an intimation that he was expected to pass on. He finally secured an entrance by stratagem, but when sent away without a sail of a single pardon, and he soon after left Switzerland. Oh, yeah. He came, he came there to get pardon, where people can receive pardon and to pay penance for their sins and all these things, but not one did he anyone to give money, as the case might be. So we see here that when the gospel is preached and people's eyes are open to the truth, I'm telling you, people will leave the darkness and they will follow the light that has been shining in their pathway. He finally secured an entrance by stratagem, I read that over again, but was sent away without a sale of a single pardon. Would you tell him to be quiet, please? And he soon after left Switzerland. A strong impetus was given to the reform by the appearance of the plague, or great death. There was a plague that it was called the Black Death in that time, which swept over Switzerland in the year 1519. So we are getting some history. We are getting some history here concerning that great plague that killed over thousands and thousands of people in 1519. So here are some histories. As men were thus brought face to face with the destroyer, many were led to feel how vain and worthless were the pardons which they had so lately purchased. Now, they purchased pardon, they paid money for it. But when they came to light of understanding and the knowledge of all these things that they are doing is in vain, right? A lot of people whose eyes were open, now they could see. You know, I love this psalm that says, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And this is what the people, because of the listening of these reformers, their eyes were open to the fact that, listen, all these kinds of things, praying for saints and praying for Mary and all these praying for the dead and all these things, a lot of people turn away from that because of the truth that was being preached by these reformers. And as a result, they were losing business. You see, they were trying to gain money for souls. How wicked the papacy in the Dark Ages. That's why it's called the Dark Ages. All right? As men were thus brought face to face with the destroyer, many were led to feel how vain and worthless were the pardons which they had so lately purchased. No, salvation is free. I remember this song I paused. If religion was a thing, that's it, that money could buy, the rich will live and the poor will die. But thank God that money, a man's life consisted, the Bible says, not of the abundance of the things he possesses. So salvation is free. It is free. And these folks are just trying to buy people and to be getting from the poor. What wickedness. What wickedness they were. All right? They were doing. Zwingli at Zurich was smitten down. He was brought so low that all hope of his recovery was relinquished. And the report was widely circulated that he was dead. And in that trying hour, his hope and courage were unshaken. Praise the Lord. He looked in what faith, and that's where we all need to be looking, always by the grace of God. Faith, as we know, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Zwingli looked by faith to the cross of Calvary, trusting in the all-sufficient propitiation for sin. When he came back from the gates of death, you know, sometimes, you know, when we reach in a state, in a condition that we feel that all is over, and we have a prime example as Job, when we thought that all you know, thought that Job was going to die after those sores and boils that came upon him, God restored Job to the pink of his health and blessed him abundantly after there. Amen. It was to preach the gospel with greater fervor than ever before, and his words exerted an unwanted power. Praise the Lord. The people welcomed with joy their beloved pastor. Return to them from the brink of the grave. Oh, yes. They themselves had come from attending upon the sick and the dying, and they felt as never before the value of the gospel. You know, I pause there. You know, when I understand these things, you know, we have the gospel being preached to us. We have it to the very mouth, our mouth. And we do not really in depth go down in the word of God as we ought. We does not dig deep down in the minds of truth to know God wholeheartedly. And here, these people, you know, they had seen the importance of Zwingli here and how he recovered and everything, and that renewed his strength in that sense. Praise the Lord. The fall of man. Zwingli had arrived at a clear understanding of its truth, right? I'm there, okay? And had more fully experienced in himself its renewing power. Praise the Lord, which we all should. The fall of man and the plan of redemption were the subjects upon which he dwelt. In Adam, he said, quote, "We are all dead, sunk in corruption and condemnation. Christ has purchased for us a never-ending redemption. His passion is an eternal sacrifice, an everlastingly effectual to heal. It satisfies the divine justice forever in behalf of all those who rely upon it with firm and unshaken faith." All these brethren, I mean, they had scriptures, I mean, scriptures was to them, life, you know, by the grace of God. Yet he clearly taught that men are not, because of the grace of Christ, free to continue in sin. Wherever there is faith in God, there God is. Praise God. And wherever God abideth, there a zeal exists, urging and impelling men to good work. Such was the interest in Zwingli's preaching that the cathedral was filled to overflowing with the crowds that came to listen to him. And little by little, as they could bear it, he opened the truth to his hearers. Lord God, I hope we also have such passion and such longing and yearning for the word of God. You know, I pray God help us as we see what these brethren and them went through. Continue. He was careful not to introduce at first points which would saddle them and create prejudice. So he was very wise in his presentations. His work was to win their hearts to the teachings of Christ, to soften them by his love and keep them before them his example. And as they should receive the principles of the gospel, their superstitious belief and practices would inevitably be overthrown. Isn't that amazing? Step by step, the Reformation advanced in Zurich. In alarms, its enemies aroused to active opposition. So when the enemies heard all these things, there was opposition against knowing that the people had gotten light and understanding. 1 year before, the monk of Wittenberg had uttered his no to the Pope and the Emperor at Worms. And now everything seemed to indicate a similar withstanding of the papal claim at Zurich. Repeated attacks were made upon Zwingli in the papal cantons. From time to time, Disciples of the gospel were brought to the stake, but this was not enough. The teacher of heresy must be silenced. They wanted to put him to death. They wanted to silence him once and for all. I'm telling you, the word of God is as Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder and dividing, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the heart. That's what the word of God does. It makes us to repent and in accepting Jesus, or it makes us to be at enemy with God and to go out and to serve the enemy. Either one, brethren and sisters. All right? Repeated attacks were made upon, all right, okay, yes. Accordingly, the Bishop of Constance dispatched three deputies to the Council of Zurich, accusing Zwingli of teaching the people to transgress the laws of the church. Oh, my Lord. They did not even say the law of God, the laws of the church. And that's why Jesus, I pause, that's why Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees, the teaching. For they like to do all these things, and they don't want to hear truth. They close their ears to truth. Jesus says, beware of their teachings, thus endangering the peace and good order of society. That's what they were saying of Zwingli teaching in stirring up the people. And that's, they accuse Christ of the same thing too, right? If the authority of the church were to be set aside, he urged, universal anarchy would result. Zwingli replied that he had been for 4 years teaching the gospel in Zurich, which was more quiet and peaceful than any other tongue in the Confederacy. Is not then, he said, Christianity the best safeguard of the general security? Question he was asking. The Christian Christianity and not the teaching and the dogmas of churches. That's what he's saying here. The deputies had admonished the councillors to continue in the church, out of which they declared there was no salvation, and Zwingli responded, let not this accusation move you. The foundation of the church is the same rock, the same Christ, hallelujah, that gave Peter his name because he confessed him faithfully. In every nation, whosoever believes with all his heart in the Lord Jesus is accepted of God. Here truly is a church out of which no one can be saved. Amazing. As a result of the conference, one of the bishop's deputies accepted the Reformed faith. Could you imagine that? I'm telling you. And we know even when Christ was here, I paused. When Christ was here, we know there were many of the those who did not want to make openly, you know, the knowledge of knowing Christ, like Nicodemus and Joseph and many of others who didn't want to come to openly or in a day, and that's why Nicodemus had to come to Jesus by night. But here we see that some of these folks, because of their the experience of Zwingli here, we see that even one of their bishop came over in accepting Christ. Praise the Lord. The council declined to take action against Zwingli, and Rome prepared for a fresh attack. An enemy never stops. The reformer, when apprised of the plots of his enemies, exclaimed, let them come on. I fear them as the beetling cliff fears the waves that thunder at its feet. I hope we keep this in mind, that, you know, it's something that we need to understand, that, you know, this reminds me of the three Hebrews. I pause. The three Hebrews. When they were told to bow to the image, and because they did not bow, you know, Nebuchadnezzar told him again, listen, when you hear the music and the sound, wow. And because they saw they say, listen, let me tell you straight up plainly, we are not here to answer you in this matter. We are going to worship our God and we will not bow down, but let it be known unto you that our God will deliver us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Zwingli is saying, listen, I don't care whatever they bring at me, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I have no fear. The efforts of the Ecclesiastes only furthered the cause which they sought to overthrow. The truth continued to spread. In Germany, its adherents, cast down by Luther's disappearance, took heart again. As they saw the progress of the gospel in Switzerland, as the Reformation became established in Zurich, its fruits were more fully seen in the suppression of vice and the promotion of order and harmony. Peace has her habitation in our tongue, wrote Zwingli. No quarrel, no hypocrisy, no envy, no strife. Whence can such union come but from the Lord and our doctrine, which fills us with the fruits of peace and piety? The victories gained by the Reformation stirred the Romanists to still more determined efforts for its overthrow. Seeing how little had been accomplished by persecution in suppressing Luther's work in Germany, they decided to meet the reform with its own weapons. They would hold a disputation with Zwingli, and having the arrangement of matters, they would make sure of victory by choosing themselves, not only the place of the combat, but the judges that should decide between the disputants, and if they could once get Zwingli into their power, they would take care that he did not escape them. You see the plans that they were making? You know? But I'm telling you, when the enemy is coming in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against them. The leader silenced. The movement could speedily be crushed. This purpose, however, was carefully concealed. The disputation was appointed to be held at Baden, but Zwingli was not present. The Council of Zurich, suspecting the designs of the papists and warned by the burning pyres kindled in the papal cantons for confessors of the gospel, forbade their pastor to expose himself to this peril. So they were trying to discourage him. It reminds me about the disciples when they were telling Jesus, you know, Master, don't do this and do that. And Jesus had to rebuke Peter. And in that sense, you know, that the devil is a new Peter. So we ought to encourage people, not to discourage them, especially when standing for truth. At Zurich, he was ready to meet all the partisans that Rome might send. But to go to Baden, where the blood of martyrs for the truth had been shed, was to go to certain death. O Calampadius and Haller were chosen to represent the reformers. And while the famous Dr. Eck, supported by a host of learned doctors and prelates, was the champion of Rome, though Zwingli was not present at the conference, his influence was felt. The secretaries were all chosen by the papists, and others were forbidden to take notes on pains of death. What a forceful religion this was. Notwithstanding this, Zwingli received daily a faithful account of what was said at Baden. A student in attendance at the disputation made a record each evening of the arguments that day presented. So there was note taken. These papers, two other students undertook to deliver with the daily letters of Ocalampadius to Zwingli at Zurich. The reformer answered, giving counsel and suggestions. His letters were written by night and the students returned with them to Bedin in the morning. Wow. To elude the vigilance of the guard stationed at the city gates, these messengers brought baskets of poultry on their heads, and they were permitted to pass without hindrance. Right in the devil's face, you know, they were able to pass with those letters. Thus, Zwingli maintained the battle with his willy antagonist. He has labored more, said Myconius, by his meditations, his sleepless nights, and the advice which he transmitted to Baden than he would have done by discussing in person in the midst of his enemies. The Romanists, flushed with anticipated triumph, had come to Baden attired in their richest robes and glittering with jewels. They fared luxuriously, their tables spread with the most costly delicacies and the choicest wines. The burden of their ecclesiastical duties was lightened by gaiety and reveling. In marked contrast appeared the reformer, who were looked upon by the people as little better than a company of beggars, and whose frugal fare kept them but short time at table. O Calampadius, landlord, taking occasion to watch him in his room, found him always engaged in study or at prayer. Wow. And greatly wondering, reported that the heretic was at least very pious. So he saw how this Zwingli was moving. He said, that's a pious man, you know, the way he was praying and otherwise, as the case might be. At the conference, Eck haughtily ascended a pulpit splendidly decorated, while the humble Ocalampadius, meanly clothed, was forced to take his seat in front of his opponent on a rudely carved stool. So he got a hard bench. Eh? Tentorian voice and unbounded assurance never failed him. His zeal was stimulated by the hope of gold as well as fame, for the defender of the faith was to be rewarded by a handsome fee.
Elder Richardson, I can't hear you. I'm not sure if the other brethren can hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, just a moment, brothers and sisters. We lost connection with Elder Richardson. He will call back in. Just keep him in prayer and the connection, please. Amen. So press 1 once you come back in, Elder, so that I can open your line. I don't know if you're going to use another phone. Amen. Your line is
okay.
Not open.
Okay. Are you hearing me now, Sister Carla?
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right. Okay, so I'll just go back up a little bit. All right. Starting at the conference. At the conference, Eck haughtily ascended a pulpit splendidly decorated. And while the humble Ocalampadius, meanly clothed, was forced to take his seat in front of his opponent on a rudely carved centurion voice and unbounded assurance never failed him. His zeal was stimulated by the hope of gold as well as fame. For the defender of the faith was to be rewarded by a handsome fee. You know, it's like lawyers, you know. I pause there. It's like lawyers. When you hire a lawyer and the lawyer did good, you know, in your case, and he wins the case for you, you know, you're going to reward that lawyer with some extra blessings of money, as the case might be. So this is what was transitioning here. you know, because he was representing the Vatican, and that hopefully that he is going to make a good outcome and embarrass our brother Ocalampadios. He thought, oh, yes, he's going to receive a handsome fee. My Lord, have mercy. When better arguments, I continue, when better arguments fail, he had resort to insults and even to oaths. My Lord. Ocalampadios, modest and self-distrustful, had shrunk from the combat, and he entered upon it with a solemn avowal. He quote, I acknowledge no other standard of judgment than the word of God. Though gentle and courteous in demeanor, he proved himself able and unflinching. While the Romanists, according to their wont, appealed for authority to the custom of the church, the reformer adhered steadfastly to the Holy Scriptures. Folks, this is why. This is why we need to arm ourselves with the Word of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when we are filled with the power of God, when we stand before whoever or whatever, the Spirit of God will give us utterance. Remember when Jesus made a promise, when he promised to his disciples the Comforter in John 14:26. But the Comforter, I quote, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so this is why we need as a people to study 1 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that we ought to search the scriptures. We got to search the scriptures, folks. We got to make sure that we delve down in the scriptures and understand and apply our hearts. For the Spirit of God is only when our minds are fortified with the Word of God, will then we be able to give an answer to every man that has the hope that is in us. And these readings are preparing us, brethren, for the coming crisis, the time of Jacob's trouble. And if we fail of not making application to our lives, we are in serious, serious trouble. Because, as the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because of what? Lack of knowledge. Knowledge, the Bible said, a wise man is pleasant for the soul. And let us not think or take things for granted that when the time comes of persecution, when the time comes of trial, that we're going to be able to give an answer to every man that has the hope that is in us. It does not work that way. We must fortify our minds. We must study scriptures. We must have scriptures embedded in our minds. And I confer with the psalmist David in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this is why our brother Zwingli was able to stand before the councils there in the Dark Ages, because he studied the scriptures. He wasn't going through church customs. He was going through the scriptures. And that's why he said, as he said here concerning the word of God, I acknowledge no other standard of judgment than the word of God. Though gentle and courteous in demeanor, he proves himself able and unflinching. While the Romanists, according to their wont, appealed for authority to the custom of the church, the reformer adhered steadfastly to the Holy Scriptures. Folks, we have the Bible at our in our possessions, and we must not let it gather dust, folks. But we must make sure that we understand the Word of God and to have it, have that clarifying understanding to our minds, that we'll be able to stand in these last days. And while the Roman is according to their want, right, custom, he said, has, let me read that part up there again, sorry. While the Roman is according to their want, appeal for authority to the custom of the church, the Reformer adhered steadfastly to the Holy Scriptures. Custom, he said, has no force in our Switzerland unless it be according to the Constitution. Now, in matters of faith, the Bible is our Constitution. Praise God. Let's make the Bible our motto, that it is our Constitution. We'll live by it, and we will die by it, by the grace of God. The contrast between the two disputants was not without effect. The calm, clear reasoning of the Reformer, so gently and modestly presented, appealed to minds that turned in disgust from ex-boastful and boisterous assumptions. The discussion continued 18 days. At its close, the papists with great confidence claimed the victory. Most of the deputies sided with Rome, and the Diet pronounced, or the Diet, whichever one, pronounced the Reformers vanquished and declared that they, together with Zwingli, their leader, were cut off from the church. Hey, I rather cut off from the church and not to cut off from heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus says, this reminds me of a text that Jesus said concerning when the disciples were saying that the spirits were subjected to us and all these things. They were rejoicing. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. But rejoice rather that your name is written in the books of heaven, in the books of life. That's where and how we ought to be rejoicing, by the grace of God. All right? So, praise God that Brother Zwingli stood up. Even though he was cut off from the church, yet his name was retained in the book of heaven. And lastly, but the fruits of the conference reveal on which side the advantage lay. The contest resulted in a strong impetus to the Protestant cause. And it was not long afterward that the important cities of Bern and Basel declared for the Reformation. So people from these various parts there, we see that many people had come in accepting Zwingli's teaching by the grace of God. So they wanted to silence him, and they scorned him, and they said all kinds of negative things, and they were sending out threats and everything. But through this stands for the truth and for the right, and to stand and to call out sin by its right name. I know, as we end on this note, we understand that as a people, that God is calling us, as I end on this note, God is calling us even in these days for men and women who will not be what? Bought or sold. Men and women who will be true as a needle to the pole. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who will call sin by its what? Right name, do the what? Heavens fall. Oh, brethren and sisters, this is a time for us to not to be ready, but to prepare. To be in readiness here in our hearts, and to ask the Lord to give us of his grace to prepare us for the coming crisis, and to let go of everything that this world has and whatever that is holding us back. Brethren, the trying time is before us, and we must make a stand like these brethren who stood in representing Jesus.
Amen. Can you hear me? We seem like we lost you again, Elder Richardson. Amen, amen. Just a moment, brothers and sisters. I pray that everyone wrote down their questions, if you have any, and or your comments. If you have any questions or comments, I pray that you wrote it down, as Elder will be calling back in. His line dropped again. Amen. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for, again, I know the enemy, in whatever way he's working to bring this our study to naught, but he has been conquered by the Lord. We got to put him behind us, by the grace of God. So we are going to have a prayer of consecration. I did text that out to you. I don't know if you got it. We're going to have a prayer of consecration. We are 7:47, and I asked Brother Wilson to do a prayer of consecration to the Lord, because we do not want to know that we're reading this thing and understanding what is about, what was, is to come, and we need ourselves to be in place. So we want to reconsecrate and rededicate our lives to the Lord. So we'll ask Brother Wilson to do a prayer of consecration as we go down in our knees to pray. Brother Wilson, you can open his line.
Amen. Please press 1. Brother Wilson, press 1 so that I can open your line, please. Amen. 954-647, your line is now open.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Yes.
Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, you are awesome. You are worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be praised. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for these readings, even with Brother Swinley. Lord, help us, Lord, to stand like these Protestants, Lord, true Protestants, Lord, protesting against all the false doctrines of the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Lord, we want to be like Revelation 14 describes, the 144. We want to be without guile. We want to be virgins, pure, white, clothed with the righteous garments of Jesus Christ. So I'm praying, Lord, as we prepare during this probationary time, that we can surrender every known and unknown sin to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to search our hearts, prick our hearts. And I'm praying that we were all touched tonight. Please, Lord, bless our family members, Father. Allow your light, the light of Christ, to shine through us.
Amen.
Family members, co-workers, strangers, those who we come in contact with, they may see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So please, Lord, help me, even as I'm praying, to empty self. Help self to die completely within me, within all of your children, your faithful children all around the world. And we know that will be one of the characteristics of the 144. They will constantly be searching their hearts. Even though they would have come to a point where they are pure and they are righteous in Christ Jesus, they're still be searching their hearts. And Lord, help us to do that even right now in our imperfect state. Help us to sigh and cry for the abominations that we commit, and also for the abominations going on in the world, but also in the church. So purify each and every one of us right now. Help us to be consecrated. Help us to give our lives fully to you before it's too late. Because tomorrow is not promised.
No.
So please, Lord, help us to follow you, that narrow path that leads to your kingdom. Help us to keep our lights burning, our lamps burning, and help us to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for all that you do. Continue to touch Elder Richardson from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Those who are listening every Sunday and Monday, and even all the different prayer lines and all the different ministries, I'm praying that you bless every ministry that's sticking to the three angels' message, that's sticking to present truth,
Amen.
Even the youth prayer line, the youth ministry.
Amen.
I'm praying for a double portion of your Holy Spirit upon the youth in these last days. Because we know they're going to be co-laborers and finishing the work. And Father, just like you're expecting the adults to set good examples for the children, we know this work will be a mighty work for the youth, just like it was in the past. So
Hallelujah.
Bless us in a special way tonight, and be with us and keep our minds focused on the kingdom.
Yeah.
We love you and we thank you, and we're praying for sanctification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord for that prayer of consecration. All right, Sister Carla, we have the other few things we're going to wind down, and Sister Kim is going to do the last prayer. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. So is there anyone that has any questions or comment regarding the reading that was just read, chapter 9? Any questions or comments regarding the chapter, the ending part, you know, the bottom part of chapter 9 that was just read? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. No questions or comment at this time, brothers and sisters? Okay, so I see no one has pressed 1, Elder.
Amen. All right.
Can you hear me? Yes, no one has pressed 1.
Yes, I heard. So I believe by God's grace, as we close up on this note, that this our meeting on this night will be a night for us to truly seek after God in praying and serving Him and loving Him and recommitting and renewing our vows to Him. And when we are in constant, continual studies, we need and we ought to be growing. We ought to be shaking off whatever that is tying us up or tying us down, or the yoke, as you were studying in Isaiah 58, the yoke that has held us in bondage, we need to break loose. And I pray that God, for each and every one of us on this study line, that our hearts will be blessed and be touched. So if there's no questions, no suggestions on what we commence, then we'll go right into our closing prayer. Sister Kim will close us off.
Okay, someone just pressed 1. I'll go ahead and open that line. 337-433. The line is now open.
Hi, Sister Christine.
Yes.
I want to tell Brother Richardson that I'm here tonight. I'm here tonight.
Amen. Thank
I
you.
I had a testimony before you close that we have a very important meeting going on tonight that started at 6 o'clock, and they wanted all the community members to be there because there's going to be we have a company here from South Africa called Sasol.
Yes.
And they are coming in all the black neighborhoods to contaminate it, to kill as many blacks as they can. That's really is just another form of slavery. So the community is meeting tonight, and I told God I can't do it. I say, honey, you're going to have to go because I'm not missing my great controversy tonight because at that meeting can't do what I need to learn from the great controversy.
Praise
so,
God.
You know, I know that he's going to take care of us as we take care of his work.
Yes.
But I was looking at on that paragraph right before the closing, I want to better understand it on page 90 where it said to allude, where it said that they carried in baskets of poultry.
Mm-hmm.
These people had the notes in the basket of poultry?
Yes, let me explain. Yes, because Zwingli could not have gone to the meeting. He had to send two of the brethren. And in order to pass, spies. Well, good spies for the Lord. In order to get into, to pass the guard, they had to take the letters as Zwingli wrote, put it in the basket, and it was hidden in the basket, and they were able to pass through without any scrutiny or without the guard searching the basket. So that letter was written by Zwingli. So the brother was to read that and to add to some of the comments of Zwingli in when they were in trial. So that was what was being brought out there with the two brethren that went with the notes, the written down notes in the basket. So that what that means, Sister Bennett.
And, you know, I thought that was very powerful to let us know in these last days we have no excuse to get this message out. I mean, you know, they went through a point of making them think they had the portrait, and all the while it was God's message getting out. So we have no excuse to get this message out.
You're right. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Sister Bennett. Well said. Well said. Thank you so much. Let's keep this study line going by the grace of God. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Appreciate it. Amen. Sister Carla?
Amen. Yes. No one else has pressed one. So Sister Kim can do the closing prayer. So if I have missed anyone, again, if you have a question or a comment, please go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line. Okay, no one else has pressed 1.
Okay, let's pray. Oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we want to thank you for your love and your mercies towards us. All you've done, all you're doing, all you continue to do
yes.
in our lives.
Amen.
And thank you, Sister Christine, that you are here.
Amen.
God has placed a purpose in your heart, and you understand that purpose.
Amen.
And so you know where you're supposed to be. And I pray that, especially for our youths,
yes.
that they can truly come into that purpose
yes,
and know where they're supposed to be and align themselves, God, that truly they can stand, Lord, unflinchingly, stand like the brave and face the foe. Oh, Lord, please help us that we can equip these youths. Lord, we just walked tonight out there, and, you know, all you can think of is when the youths are going to come into this, their purpose, and stand like the brave with their face to the foe.
Amen.
God, and even the adults. Please, Father, help us. Please. And as the paragraph said, that I acknowledge no other standard of judgment.
Mm.
than the word of God.
Amen.
Help us that we can stand like the brave. We can dare to be Daniel
yeah.
and accept no other standard
Amen.
But the word of God.
Amen.
Lord, be with your people. Please help us that we can surrender totally to you and come into your will soon. That truly we can take this gospel to the world. And, Lord, win your souls back to you before it's eternally too late for them. And help us to recognize that truly each and every one of us have a soul to save
mm-hmm.
and a soul to lose, a heaven to win and a hell to shun. And we all need to be our brother's keeper so that truly we can work together to win our families, our friends, our co-workers, everyone we come into association with. Lord, please help us to recognize the value of one soul
mm.
and get up from our lethargy and truly, Lord,
Amen.
Ask you if we don't know. Ask you what it is you want us to do and step out in faith in doing whatever the Holy Spirit impresses us to do.
Amen.
As Abraham answer the call, as Elisha answered the call. As soon as they got the word from God, they picked up and they moved. Mm. Unquestioningly, they just were reading the word of God, studying the word of God, and they recognized when that call came that it was a call from God.
Amen.
Help us that as we study this word tonight that we can recognize the call from God.
Amen.
And answer that call.
Amen.
Because many are called, but few are chosen. Help us to choose Christ tonight, that truly mm-hmm. he can use all of us mightily for your glory. Bless all your youths, Father.
Yes.
Especially Sister Brittany, who's here at the youth ministry in Long Eddy. Lord, bless her in a special way, God. Use her mightily for your glory. Help her in all her decision-making. Lord, the youths want to do us right. They want direction. They don't want to make another mistake. Please help them. Help them. Show us, God, speak through us that we can speak to them. Help us not to speak our own words to them. That truly they can make the best step going forward. Because they've made enough mistakes. They want to make it right.
Yeah.
Even Blessed Sister Rema, she said she was trying to come on. She couldn't get on, but she kept trying and she got on.
Yeah.
Oh, Father, she's making a decision as well on her job. God, you work through her mind and her heart. Show her where she needs to be. Your young people want to live the life of Christ. They want to. But this debts in this world is just holding them down. Debt here and debt there. College here,
mm-hmm.
tuition.
Mm-hmm.
God, release these debts in Jesus' name that your people can do what they need to do.
Amen.
God, the youth need to be free of these debts. Free them, Father.
Yes.
That they can stand up and, God, move out and do your will.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us. God, that we would do all in our power to ensure that we can equip the youths aright. Support them. Give them the strength and encouragement that they need. Help us to recognize the solemnness of this work that we have. And do not go into this work in any lethargic spirit and careless spirit. But recognize it's a serious, serious task. We have undertaken. We have undertaken a warfare with Satan. And he is not asleep and he will not rest while we try to take his, while we try to take back God's inheritance. He will not rest or sleep. So we ask God, cover us with your blood. Put your hedge of a protection about everyone who enters this warfare, God, and protect us, God, from all the wiles of the devil, from all the darts that he's aiming at us. Protect us, cover us with your blood. This is my wish and my prayer. Whatever I fail in asking, please fail not to grant. And please, though unworthy we be, God, please hear from heaven and answer our prayer. Our hearts are breaking for what is going on with our youths. We've made mistakes in the past, but God, we want to correct them.
Yes.
And we want to be examples aright for the youths. Help us as well as adults. It's my wish and my prayer. Bless everyone on the line, especially Sister Christine as well, that was able to make a decision to come on the line.
Amen.
Keep her coming and keep her steadfast in the truth. Bless Sister Carla, Lord, who is, oh, Father, she is a help to everyone.
Amen.
Continue to bless her and
yes.
hold her up, God. Keep her strong
mm-hmm.
and faithful and steadfast. And give her the strength. Renew her strength, God, because I know
yes.
she must be tired. Oh, Lord, help her, God. Help her son, Nicholas, Lord.
Yes.
God,
Amen.
Train him upright. God, help us.
Yes.
We can come together and truly help the youths. The youths need help. Reach
yes.
out, God, and touch each individual on this line and each youth represented. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Before you give the closing remark, we want to remind everyone again, please, to encourage others to come on this study line. It's very, very important. And if we miss one chapter, it's like we're missing a link in the chain. We don't want an unbroken chain. We want to make this sacrifice to be on this study line. And as we know that we continue every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and 6 p.m. Central Time, please put that on your calendar so we will not forget, but we'll remember and call up each other and invite others on this study line. Our churches need to know these things. Our church members need to know these things. And they're not being told and fed the things that are in this book, Great Controversy. This is a book for these last days. And we need to come and support and to come together on this study line. And we're going to have a little few changes where we're going to have some season of prayer on this study line. We're going to make that, by the grace of God, be a priority because we need it. It must be coupled. Studying and prayers must be coupled together in order for us to be strengthened for the coming crisis. So please, tomorrow, please God, we have the Mr. Kim, just the tomorrow meeting.
Oh, tomorrow at 6 we have the collaborative ministries meeting. So everyone who has their ministries, come on please and share your ministry, what you're doing, and what the Lord has placed on your heart to do in your ministry, and any updates you have in your ministry, what you're doing, what you might have coming up, so that we all can know to support these different ventures and evangelistic outreach that we may all have. At this point, we are having 12 days of consecration at Longhead in New York with the youth. And truly, the youth have been joining in the morning for our, you know, devotional sessions, even at 4:30. So, you know, join us for the meeting that we're having, 6 p.m. Share your ministry and invite others who have other ministries that haven't been on the line to come on and share their ministries, that we can come into one and see how we can work together to assist each other. And then at 7, we have the prayer and planning for the youth, and how God can use us to train the youths aright. So please join us at 6 p.m. and then 7 p.m. on the number 319-527-2988. If you have any problems with the number, you can always call Elder Richardson.
Amen. Thank you. Question, Sister Carlos.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. May you have a pleasant night, and hope to hear you back on the different prayer line and as we're meeting tomorrow for the youth. Please invite other youth and be blessed. Thank you again. God bless.
Thank you.